So, yeah, we're going to have I want to talk with you guys. So what happened with your well, some of you didn't do homework, I know. But those of you who did, you know, what have you noticed?
Well, I mean, I guess I didn't. I thought the homework was the next set.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, it's stuff to do. If you, you know, if you have been doing, you know, we're still working with forgiveness, still working with releasing limiting beliefs, still working, you know, with releasing energy, you know, that's that
right.
sort of thing.
Oh, yes.
And what
well,
have you noticed?
Well, that's new normal, so I don't consider that.
That's the new normal?
Good for you.
Yeah, I've had, well, you must have been in the middle of, is this Anita that's on now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was me talking, and Beth is here, too.
Must
Beth
have been
is
in the
here.
Middle of something, but yeah, I have just had ongoing opportunities to start to look at things differently.
Awesome. I love it. That's so beautiful.
So this is Beth, and I actually spent hours doing those exercises of limiting beliefs and really writing them all down and turning my goals into statements about why I couldn't do something and then writing all my becauses, and it was really good.
And what were the results?
Well, you know, some of them weren't so surprising, but others really surprised me. I mean, I knew fear was behind some of it, but I didn't realize that I was so much into feeling like I didn't deserve something.
Sure.
And that, those are big things. Don't deserve it, fear, and don't believe it. You know, like for money things, for example, or abundance things. Even though I really thought that I believed in abundance, a lot of my limiting beliefs were kind of like, well, I don't really believe that's true. It was quite amazing. It was very good.
Wonderful. Good. Yeah, this is good stuff, you know, and the thing is it's simple and it does work. So I'm so glad. So
I have
that
a question for you, though.
Yes?
When you get to, you know, I went through marking your tens and eights and numbers and so forth, and then the next thing says to really work on releasing the limiting beliefs. So what? How do you work on releasing the limiting beliefs?
Well, you could put them in the box.
Just okay, all right. Just,
and then we vaporize them.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's just one way. There's so many different ways, but that's a real easy way.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
If it works for you, that's a really good thing to do. You know, just so that you have you go on automatic pilot. It's like, okay, here's something I don't need. Let's just zap it. Done. Okay. Now, who is this?
It's Pamela. Oh my God! I forgot all about it.
I know. That's why. That's why I sent you the text.
Yeah, I just walked in from work, and now I'm on my way to dog park.
Oh, okay. Well.
But I'll just put you on mute.
Okay. Okay. So everybody's here except Deb. I did text her. But, you know, I got to get Michelle sending the notifications.
That's okay. Okay. This is Anita, and I wanted to say something. What you were saying, Beth, I can really relate to that because I've been working on a lot of this for a long time, and I have been... And I think the problem is it's in my head. I see it intellectually and philosophically that, yes, I believe in looking at life from a point of view of abundance. And yet, you know, they're buried that these beliefs that I don't deserve it or, you know, that kind of thing where we have these beliefs that are blocking it. And I was looking at something else today from another person who has programs for getting rid of beliefs. And that was really interesting. I was reading how he puts it, and he says, you start looking at it, and who does it remind you of? Like, you come across one of these beliefs, and who does that remind you of? Is it your mother, your father, an authority figure, a teacher that gave you this belief? And imagine yourself just giving it back to them and saying, I don't need this anymore.
That's a good way to do it, but you don't even need to do that, because once you write down what it is you want, what it is you would like to do, once you set your intention for what you want to do, then you write it down in the negative. I can't do that because. And then once you've written that down, then very quickly, just off the top of your head, you start writing all the reasons why you can't. And those are your limiting beliefs. You don't want to, you know, take any time to just stress about it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter where it came from.
Right.
It really doesn't matter. Once you get rid of it, you zap it. And then you can replace it with something that's going to be more beneficial for you.
Well, you know, and that's kind of encouraging, because sometimes it's just not really easy to identify where it came from.
Yeah.
So,
why do you need to even go there? You know, I mean, like
right.
The Course in Miracles says that the ego will keep you very, very busy with seek but never find.
Right.
So, you know, and it's like when I work with people that are when I'm working with them, a past life shows up. I don't generally even get into what the story is. It's not important. It's just a distraction. So, you know, yeah, I mean, it could be very interesting to figure out where it came from, but that's just another step that do you really need?
Well, yeah, plus it's almost, although that's not how this person presented that, it's almost a way of laying blame on someone else. Instead of just saying, well, I have this belief and I don't need this anymore.
The thing is that, you know, the limiting beliefs, when we're little, we're like those little sponges and we're absorbing things without any discernment. You just, you know, you're just taking beliefs from your parents because that's what you know. That's your reality. And then, you know, and then because you have these beliefs, that's what's reflecting back at you from the universe and from your friends and from your teachers, you know, in your particular school and the church. And then you're watching movies and the media and TV. So you're getting this whole impression of this is the way my world works. And, you know, when you have these beliefs, life is hard. You know, it's hard to get ahead. You really have to work for, you know, and it's a dog-eat-dog world and, you know, all the things that we tell ourselves that are only true because we believe them.
Right. Well, and the thing is, pretty much my whole adult life, as far back as I can remember, I have not had this perception that I think I remember seeing in one of your lists of beliefs, the belief that the world is out to get me or stuff along that of that nature. And I have one of my brothers has very much always been like that. He just always blames the world for everything, that's all the bad things that have happened to him. And I haven't, at least in my conscious mind, I haven't perceived the world that way.
And
but I'm beginning
just, you know, they may just be, you know, beliefs that make they could be peripheral. You may not have even, you know, accepted them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking maybe I do have repressed beliefs like of that nature, because, you know, the things that have been happening in my life in recent years are just building up, and like now the accident, and I'm just like, oh, this is the world reflecting back to me some beliefs that I haven't uncovered, I guess.
Not necessarily.
No?
It could have been something, a belief that you had in the past.
Uh-huh.
And if it's your daughter's car, maybe it had to do with her belief or her husband.
Oh. Now that's really throwing a monkey wrench into my mind.
It's not about your mind. Get out of your mind.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, oh, my gosh. Okay. So you're saying this could be something that was being reflected because of her belief, or...
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're not in this all by yourself, although some people would say there's only one person, then you got to take responsibility for all of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's one thing. But whatever is, it's already happened. Mm-hmm. But you can start from right here and now releasing, you know, any beliefs, any reasons, you know, or energetic stuff mm-hmm. that may have created this, you know?
Yeah, and then to use Mary Jane's terminology, I have a lot of opportunity here for trying to forgive because I have a huge amount of guilt about having wrecked my daughter's car.
Well, you want to do it right now?
Okay.
And also, you know, you can shift things by just really focusing on what there is to be appreciative of. And there really is so much. You weren't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also in the law of karma, you know, it may be that you were, you know, because of something from a past life that you were, you know, destined to have something worse happen to you, but because you shifted some things, it was only this.
Hmm.
You see? There's a lot we just don't understand. There's a lot we don't
yes.
know.
Right.
You don't have to beat yourself up with, why would this happen? Because then your mind's going to come up with all the reasons that you're such a bad person, and that's, of course, why it happened.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, my daughter said, you know, my daughter last week said, don't beat yourself up about it. And she said, I know you will anyway, but don't.
Well,
and
you don't have to. So just go into a place where you're blaming yourself.
Okay.
When you're feeling so bad because you feel like you did something terrible to your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that. I feel that, yeah. Where do you feel it in your body?
In my chest and stomach.
Yeah, and your solar plexus.
Yeah.
I feel it mostly in the solar plexus, although there is a heaviness in the chest.
Yeah.
So just really allow yourself to feel it. There you go. So just while you're allowing, have you done this? Have you let yourself really feel what was going on in you?
I have somewhat. I have a couple times. The night that it happened, but you know, the night following the it happened at like 6:15 p.m. and then I just had a really horrible dream that night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just and sometimes when things come up like this, you know, it could be, you know, just something from a past life that's reoccurring. There's all kinds of reasons that you don't need to beat yourself up for. It just is. It just happened. So without any judgment, just let yourself feel these feelings and just really feel gratitude that you're feeling these feelings, because here's your beautiful opportunity to release this. There it goes. You feel how you just opened up inside?
Yeah.
Now imagine your daughter standing in front of you, and what are you feeling?
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You feeling any guilt?
Not at the moment.
Good.
Yeah.
So, you know, just feel the love and appreciation for your relationship with her, and just trust that something wonderful is going to come. Just, you know, just really look, come from a place of appreciation. It doesn't matter if you're appreciating, you know, something in particular to what you want to create, like, you know, another car for your daughter, or whatever, you know, just start to really get into a place of appreciating everything that's happening around you. And you know, you can make gratitude lists are great. And, you know, just really feeling the appreciation as much as you can will raise your vibration, put you into a state of joy or close to it, and also aligns you with Source. So it's a really wonderful thing to be doing for you and everybody else. I'm feeling your neck now. Is that on the right side in the back?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So So let me, can I, would you, are you okay if I just did a little release on it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And it extends down into my back on the right side.
I know. There you go.
Wow, I can feel that.
Mm-hmm. There's no distance between us. There just appears to be. But just like the images that were up on the on the homework page, the new beginnings, new dash beginnings dash two page.
From last week.
The Alex Gray images.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see the grid. I mean, this is how we're connected. There is no time. There is no space. We're just connected.
Oh, it's just amazing. Thank you, Marbeth. It feels like there's like this warmth.
I'm still feeling.
It's like warm, a rush of warm energy. I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah. Mm. Everybody perceives it differently. Some people perceive it as cold. Some don't feel anything.
Mm.
But I'll continue to hold you in light. Here you go. So, okay, well, tonight we have some interesting, we're going to continue moving through energy, and we're going to look at the chakras. So if you guys can, or if you're all near a computer and can go back to that homework page, we have today, I have three things up there. Let me know when everybody's there, or when you're not there.
I'm on that page. I need to refresh it.
Yeah, refresh it. And then there are three links. First one is the chakra, the diagram of the chakras. Because I know everybody's in different stages of understanding and knowledge. And, you know, so this is the energy system of the body that's coming up. Oh, good. Okay, then we have the chakra breathing, and then we have the...
You're just talking about the Alex Gray...
No.
Right?
Underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
On week four, do you see under homework, there's a chakra diagram.
Oh, okay. And then I think I need to click on that then.
Yeah, and understanding the chakra.
Got it. Okay.
I just want to make sure that it loaded well for everybody. And then
yes,
the chakra...
I have it. This is Mary Jane.
Oh, good. Okay, great. Okay. So
where was the homework? It's on your Facebook page.
It's on my website. You go to marbethdunn.com/new-beginnings-2.
Okay, I'll find it. I've got to use it on my iPhone. Okay.
Oh, you're at the iPhone, yeah. So you know a bunch about the chakras, right? Not your first rodeo.
No, I've read this pony a few times.
I know.
So,
everybody else have it? Anybody don't have it? Okay, so the first thing is a diagram of the different chakras. And it's kind of a little crude, but it basically starts with the root chakra, the Mulband, chakra, which means root. And if you look at the root chakra, it actually looks like it has like three triangles, one on the bottom and one front and back. And that really is, that's the way it is, actually. You can, and we're going to do an exercise that's going to use we'll be breathing in through the bottom of that chakra. And we're going to work on our awareness today because we were learning, you know, how to release, how to clear all the stuff that we've been carrying around in our bodies. Now we're going to work on being more aware, and because we want our bodies to communicate with us, to really be our guides. And we want to be able to navigate our awareness in our bodies, because when we bring our awareness into different areas of our bodies, we can access different information. So the root chakra, if you go to the chakra, understanding the chakras, you can read that it's the Muladhara chakra, or Mula meaning root, and that's really at the base of the spine. Color is red, and the element is the earth. And it's basically for grounding, stability. Security is a real big one. When I'm working with somebody and they're not feeling safe, I feel it right there. I know that they're not safe. You know, I know it has to do, I'll check in, is it money, is it security, you know, is it ancestral, you know, because it also governs your family, trust, finances, it's tribal, has a lot to do with security. For me, when it comes up, generally it's either security or even money, you know, the finances. So it also, you know, because we do have chakras down our legs, we do have chakras in our arms, in our hands, in our feet, but they're smaller chakras. These are the seven big ones, the seven governing ones. And what they really are energy centers. They're energy centers that govern different aspects of our lives. They're also, you know, at a deeper level, we can use them as doorways into other dimensions, but that's not for this class this evening. But that's something that they can really be used to access other dimensions. They govern aspects of your life. And if they are blocked energetically, they will do some cleaning this evening as well. We'll do some cleaning and we'll do some chakra breathing. And I think you'll really notice some a more awareness. It's very, very powerful. So this governs the adrenals, the legs, the feet, lower back pain, sciatica. And what's interesting is you can activate it with a low C, the key of C. So I have music, which I'm not playing this evening, which corresponds with different chakras. So if you want to activate specific chakras, you know, you could actually have like a singing bowl that would be tuned in a key of C and play that, and that particular vibration would be activating that chakra. So the second chakra, the sacral chakra, the Svadhisthana chakra, is located in your abdomen and your genitals, your hips, your lower back. And that's orange, element is water, and it's about creativity. In a lot of ways, it governs your emotions, creativity, sexuality, a sense of self-worth, your confidence in your creativity, and your ability to be open and friendly with others. So it's influenced by how much emotions were expressed or repressed in your family during childhood. That's big. And on the negative side, it can show irresponsibility, so it can bring in envy, distrust, and jealousy. So it also governs your spleen, ovaries, testes, uterus, kidneys, and urinary organs, which makes sense. You know, I mean, that's basically where it is. And that one is front and back. So it governs sexuality, identity, power, and control, money, creativity, respect, and relationships, blame, and guilt. Now you can actually, and we're going to do this in our exercise today, you can bring your awareness into these different chakras. And you can actually, one of my teachers, Deb, who's not on the line tonight, but she was in a course with me, several courses with this particular teacher. And, you know, he really showed us that we could see with our pelvis. And, you know, very interesting, you know, just to bringing your awareness there, because most, well, a lot of people aren't even in their body. You know, a lot of people are not in their body. And when we started the exercise of being in your heart space, it might have been difficult for, was it difficult for any of you? Was it difficult for anybody getting in the heart space?
I didn't think so.
Oh. Well, this is Pamela.
Yeah,
I still haven't found it.
You still haven't found it. Well,
I,
you know, again, you need to, you're more visual.
But I've been working on it and seeing pink, seeing green.
Good.
I'm working on it, but it's about 4:30 in the morning, and I keep thinking, well, maybe I'm getting the heart chakra and fall back to sleep, but that's not worked either.
Okay. Okay. Well, we will continue to work on that because...
Thank you.
Yes, we will continue to work on that.
But, you know, the second chakra you were just talking about,
yes,
that is me. Everything that's been happening in my life, that's 100% where it's come from.
The emotions that were repressed in your family during,
yep,
childhood. Yeah.
Yep. Every bit of it. My back, my money, my that's it.
Yeah. Well, the money's the first chakra. It is money too. But you,
yes,
know, we
you
can
said
also
finance.
Yeah, but we can also we're going to be clearing each of these chakras this evening. I'm going to show everybody how to do this because when your chakras are open and they're functioning, then everything is much more in alignment. And most of us have dirty chakras. We have them clogged full of stuff that we've been carrying around with us, you know, for many lifetimes. So, and then sometimes the energy in the chakra may not be, the chakra may not be complete. Sometimes I find that if somebody experienced a trauma in their childhood or perhaps in a previous life or, you know, a later time in the life, sometimes it's, just, you know, like we just shatter. We shatter emotionally and parts of us actually leave. And so we have to pull them back in, you know. So, but that, you know, that's just something not really, I mean, I'm just mentioning this in passing, but it's not, it's something that would need to be addressed at a later time. You know, it's not really, we don't have time to really get into that aspect of it this evening. But the chakras are very, very important. In fact, when we get into creativity, and bringing your awareness, you really want to create from the lower energy centers in your body. Our upper chakras, the ones that are above the diaphragm, the heart, the throat, the brow, which would be the third eye, and the crown, those are not chakras that have anything to do with creativity. The sacral chakra, you know, that's where our uterus is. So our sex organs are. That's actually a little bit high. I think it needs to be a little bit lower on the diagram. And the root chakra could actually be up just a touch higher. So the diagram is not quite right. It's approximate. You know, don't use it as a you know as the Bible. It's not quite right. It's a little bit off. It's literal, you know, don't take it literally. It's, you know, gives you an idea of approximately where things are. In fact, like the solar plexus would be lower. Heart about right, and the throat's about right. Yeah, the others are right. So, anyway, so the lower three chakras, that's where creativity happens, and the solar plexus is where we have our digestion begins. you know, we have our digestion and then we have our intestines, and everybody down below the diaphragm is involved with creativity in the much more complex centers, as opposed to above the diaphragm. The heart, throat, brow, and crown are not really involved in creation. Does that make sense? They're not involved in money. They're not involved in creation. They're the spiritual centers. And although the throat is involved in creativity and self-expression, it's a little different. The, you know, if you can get a sense, the lower chakras, they in yoga, it really helps to imagine them as a pyramid, where the root chakra would be the base of the pyramid, and the crown would be the apex. So the more stability and the more grounded you are, you'd be in the root chakra. I had a guest on my radio show last night, and her thing, what she does is she teaches people how to learn the language of their soul, how to communicate with their soul. And so what she does is she has them bring their awareness into their tailbone. That immediately grounds them. So try that. Just bring your awareness into your tailbone. So now you're down by your root. You feel that? Anybody not feel it? Pamela, do you feel that?
Yes, I can.
Good. What does that feel like to you?
To me, it feels like a lump in my tail.
Okay. But you brought your awareness there. You're actually feeling it.
Correct.
That's great.
Yes.
Awesome. And it grounds you. It brings you right back into your body. If you were out and gallivanting around, you weren't in your body, now you're there, and you're grounded.
So when, like today, when I'm flying and I'm getting, apprehensive, and because I was practicing your breathing exercises when I was flying this afternoon, and I was all by myself in the simulator, and I was still getting this apprehensive of, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to do this? So it's doing your breathing down into my stomach and all the way back up and calming. But if I also then put my awareness down into my butt bone, my tailbone, that will also help ground me when I'm in the helicopter?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And the other thing is that when you get stressed or you get nervous, you tend to go up. And your breathing starts to get more shallow. And, you know, that becomes that very shallow breathing in the upper part of your chest. It's called clavicular breathing. So it's very shallow, and you're not really bringing in enough of the life force. You're not pulling it in. So it's what you did was really good, Pamela. You brought your breath into your belly very consciously. And then also by focusing on the breath, you're becoming much more present.
Well, so yes, I could tell. I mean, I was that very shallow, shallow breathing once I started thinking about you and thinking, what does Barbeth tell me to do now? So
good.
It worked. It did work.
Awesome. Wonderful. Okay, so here we were. We were talking about the lower two chakras, and now we have... And ask me, stop me if you have any questions, guys, because, you know, there's a lot of, you know, you may know a lot of this information, but we're going over it again because we're going to do it with a different twist. We're going to be doing an awareness exercise, and we're also going to be bringing our awareness into these different chakras with other purposes in mind. You know, so you get a basic awareness of how you can use your energy in a different way. And, you know, we don't always come with or know that we have a manual of our bodies. This is just another way to navigate. So the third one is the solar plexus, Sanskrit name Manipura, located on the point of the spine at the level of the solar plexus. Well, we also have a point just below the navel, which is your navel point, or in the martial arts, they would call it the hara, or the lower dantian. And that's the point where a lot of the energy in the body is stored. But this is not really a chakra, it's just an energy point. The energy center of the chakra is a little above the navel. It's maybe an inch or two above the navel, and that would be in your solar plexus. So, and that color is yellow, but it's like a golden yellow. And that rules your personal power and your will, as well as your metabolism. So it's going to bring you energy and self-esteem and happiness. So if you've had, you know, a childhood where you were crushed, you know, and in terms of your will, you may find that there's some issues to do with your solar plexus. You know, sometimes the people that I work with may have, you know, we have to pull a lot of elements back in, or maybe there's a lot of crud there. You know, we have to kind of look at the different chakras and see what they look like. So let me ask you, Miss Pamela, because I know you're very visual. Do you see the different chakras in the body?
Yes.
I knew it. So, you know, there, because we perceive energy differently. Pamela's very visual and not necessarily kinesthetic. She doesn't feel it as much. But her perception of energy is very valid. It's just different. I have a friend who can smell energetically. She came to my house. And I'm in a high rise, and as we went downstairs and we're walking outside, she said, "I'm smelling nail polish. I'm smelling nail polish remover." Well, there had been a nail place there 6 months before. There was no smell that I could smell of nail polish remover, but she knew it energetically. We walked outside, and she said, "I smell pee." Well, you know, it was near the bushes, and evidently some people had gone there to pee. But, you know, it wasn't anything that I could smell. But she was aware of that energetically. So that was just another way of experiencing energy. I also have noticed sometimes people can taste gustatory perception. Maybe they'll get a taste. Which would be an indicator for them. So, you know, we have the, you know, different senses. Also, you might hear things. You might get a ringing in the ear. You might hear voices. You may hear things in your mind. These are all ways that different people perceive energy. They get messages. That's how their intuition works. So I'm just curious. So, Anita, how do you perceive things?
All right, I had to take myself off mute. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I think primarily I visualize it. It isn't like I see it with my eyes, but it's an inner visualization.
Very cool. Very cool. And do you feel things too?
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's the most common, is the kinesthetic. Most people feel things. They'll get a gut feeling.
Yeah.
Or they'll have a feeling that something's going to happen. It comes out in their language. And what about you, Mary Jane?
I guess listening to all this, I always thought of myself as a real auditory person, but I think more and more as I become aware of these things, it's a very kinesthetic. When you were talking to Anita earlier, I was feeling all kinds of things. And
good.
About car and the daughter and the, and I was, you know, I was getting tears in my eyes and I thought, whoa. It was,
you're an empath,
like,
my dear.
It was very visceral. That is unusual for me.
Very
but then
cool.
I've been feeling like I've opened up, but sometimes it comes to me and I can hear stuff too.
Yeah. So you know, we're all unique. There's not another one of us on the planet. We are unique, and we have our own unique ways of perceiving energy. You know, which is very cool. So, Beth, what about you?
Oh, sorry. Just when you said that, of course, my dog started barking. I think I do two things primarily. One is definitely feeling, and the other, and I'm also visual at times. Like sometimes I can really see auras and chakras and colors and things, but I'd say probably more feeling.
Very cool. Very cool. So, I think that's everybody. I know Deb isn't on the call. So we were in the third chakra, and which also physically, on the negative side, it shows self-centeredness and egoism. And it governs your stomach, your liver. You know, it makes sense. Whatever is just generally in the vicinity. Your pancreas, gallbladder, intestines, blood sugar, nervous system, and digestion. So it's about personal power. It's about self-esteem. It's about the strength of your will, self-mastery, self-respect, self-confidence, individuation, care of yourself and others, responsibility for making decisions, and sensitivity to criticism, and your ego. And then, you know, physically, well, we went over, you know, the different issues that you could have that have to do with, you know, that may involve that particular chakra. And the musical key for this is E. So the fourth one, moving up, the Anahata is the heart chakra. In the center of your chest, it's green. The element is air. And it governs your heart, your lungs, your lymph glands, your immune system. And it is the center of love and compassion. And as we said earlier, there is 5,000 times much greater magnetism. It has 5,000 times more magnetism than your brain, your heart space. It really is the doorway into connecting with Source, into connecting with Spirit. And when it's opened, you're going to be more compassionate, you're going to be more loving, and it really allows you to love deeply, feel compassion for other people, and be more centered and at peace. So the lessons have to do with love, compassion, and forgiveness. And, you know, if you have issues with self-love, self-acceptance, love, trust, openness for others, forgiveness, hope, judgments, and then physically, obviously, the heart and the circulatory system, the lungs, the breast, the ribs, thymus, the gland, asthma, allergy, lung, breast, cancer of the upper back, and shoulder pain. So that would be F. I know I'm doing a lot of reading, but I think a lot of times when you hear it, it resonates in a different way. So the fifth chakra, the throat chakra, is blue. And the element is sound. And it's on the spine, directly behind the center of the throat. Now, I have heard it said that it actually is multi-dimensional. There are many, many dimensions to the throat chakra. Many more than the other chakras. It governs your neck, your jaw, your mouth, your thyroid, and your throat. And yes, it has to do with communication, self-expression, your creative identity. So you experience the world symbolically through vibration, such as the vibration of sound that represents the spoken word. Now that is symbolic. Words are symbols. They are not the actual reality. They're symbols of a symbol. So when you have a blockage in your throat, it's usually caused by people telling you to be quiet, to shut up, or they're not interested in what you have to say. So it is time to speak your truth. Because when your throat chakra is open, you're going to have a powerful desire to talk about what's important for you. And, you know, when you're in your truth, when you're authentic, then you'll find that your friends may shift. And so it has to do with lessons relating to self-expression and will, following your dreams, using your personal power to create, addiction, judgment, criticism, faith, capacity to make decisions. So, and then the musical key to activate it is G. And we come to the third eye. And I know a lot of people say, they really focus on the third eye. You know, it seems like very often there's a lot more importance given to that because it is the home of clairvoyance. And it's located directly behind the root of the nose between your eyebrows. So it also, a major component of the Ajna chakra are the pineal and pituitary glands. In Kundalini yoga, we move the energy up the Sushumna channel, which runs alongside the spine. We raise the prana, the chi, or the life force energy, up. And to open up the lotus center on the crown, but we also activate the pituitary and the pineal glands. We want to really stimulate them because that is how we will get more awareness, more intuition, more connectivity. So this chakra does govern the pituitary gland as well as the eyes, nose, and your ears. The ears have chakras also. Colors indigo, which is blue and purple. It's the center of psychic powers and higher intuition. And this is, of course, where we receive guidance, we channel, we tune into our higher self, and this is where we experience telepathy, astral travel, visions, past lives. So the lessons have to do with wisdom, intuition, insight. If you're having issues with your clarity, your vision, intuition, imagination, truth, intellectual ability, openness to the idea of others, your ability to learn from your experiences, feelings of adequacy, emotional intelligence, you may find actually that there's some overlap between the different chakras. And I find also that if you're working in one, there very often is a connection to another one. Then, you know, physically it has to do with the nervous system because where are you? You're in your head, where your brain is, right? So you have your eyes, your ears, your nose, your pineal and pituitary glands, and everything that has to do with those, the brain, the eyes, the ears. So the musical key to activate it is key of A. And last but not least is the crown chakra, the Sanhasrara. And that's at the crown of the head. It's violet. Element is thought or ether, really. It's connecting us to the world beyond. And that's where we go into a timeless, spaceless place. You're connecting to universal consciousness of all knowing. But you can do that through the heart as well. I'm just saying. Any chakra is a doorway to creativity. But especially this one, it's associated with that higher intelligence and cosmic consciousness. And it brings you universal knowledge, wisdom, understanding. In yoga, we visualize it as a lotus flower on the crown. So the lessons have to do with spirituality. If you have less issues with, your spiritual connection, intelligence, understanding, self-knowledge, your universal identity, and your ability to trust. But that's also, if you notice, that was also the first one. That was the first chakra, your ability to trust. And your values, courage, humanitarianism, selflessness, your ability to see the larger picture, faith, inspiration, mystical depression. Now, that's an interesting term, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mystical depression. So, okay. So, anyway, and then it also can, it physically has to do with the muscular system, the skeletal system, the skin, and sensitivity to light, sound, and other factors. And the key to activate this is B. So, does anybody have any questions about
yes.
the chakras?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Could you please define mystical depression?
I knew somebody was going to ask me that. I'm not exactly sure what mystical depression is. And as I was, you know, I was researching, you know, the different chakras, you know, putting this chart together. But I do know that people actually, when they're on the path, they go through a period very often where there's a yoga term for it, where you begin to doubt. You begin to doubt that you're on the path. You begin to think that the practices that you're practicing, they just don't have value, and you really start to doubt yourself, and you can go into a deep depression. And so that's what I believe that is. But if you continue on your practice, you do go through that. I mean, you come out on the other side. But that is very common. I'm forgetting the terms of what that's called at the moment. So any other questions? Okay. So we have the diagram. We're going to do an exercise, which is really quite lovely. I have to figure out where I put it on my... Oh, I know where it is here. Okay. So the chakra breathing. This is a really lovely exercise. It is very opening to your awareness. And you access it through your breath. So it's going to open you and balance you. But before we do this, let's clear our chakras. So the way, there are other ways of doing this, but what I would like to do would be to, well, we could bring in some angels to help us with this. I think that would be a good thing. So those of you guys who are visual, imagine that we all have about 860-something angels assigned to us. So let's call our angels in and ask them to help us clear out the chakras. So starting with the root chakra, ask them to vacuum out the root chakra front and back. Front and back. Just clear out all the stuff from previous lives and all the stuff from this life that is holding you back, keeping you stuck. And since that chakra also is open through the perineum, we're going to vacuum out there as well. So we're going to really open it up so that we can really perceive on this next exercise we're going to be doing. And now we're going to move up to the sacral chakra, which is really at the level of the sex organs. It's about maybe 4 or 5 inches below the navel. And front and back, we're going to clear that. Have the angels vacuuming it out. Good. And the other thing that we can do when we have them vacuuming out, ask them, when, you know, when they the vacuum cleaner goes up, the hose goes up to the light, have that energy transmuted into love and light, and then we just send that energy back in. And it just really, yeah, that upgrades. That's good. Okay, so now we are up to the solar plexus, which is now above the navel a couple of inches, maybe an inch or two above the navel, the solar plexus. So just have the angels vacuuming it out, and front and back, and have them transmute that energy into love and light, and then fill us up there with love and light. Oh, I can feel you guys getting lighter and lighter. This is great. We're up to the heart chakra. We're going to vacuum it out front and back. Let it go. Somebody's holding on to something. I can feel it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let them vacuum. There it goes. Let them vacuum it all out. Good. That's transmuted into love and light and filling that chakra up again. Ooh, that feels yummy. Throat chakra. Have those angels vacuum it out front and back. Thank you, thank you, thank you, angels. We really appreciate all this wonderful work you're doing. Vacuum that chakra. There's something blocking a couple of you guys there in the front. There it goes. Big stuff. That was a big one that came out. Transmute the energy into love and light and fill up the throat chakra. Now the sixth chakra. We'll bring the angels in with their vacuum hoses front and back, vacuuming out the sixth chakra, the Ajna chakra. Sending all that debris, that psychic debris, to be transmuted into love and light, and then to fill up that third eye chakra. And now the crown. It feels pretty clear. I don't think we need to do that. Good. Okay. What is everybody noticing? Beth, what are you noticing?
Feels really good and relaxed.
Yeah, well, you ain't felt nothing yet. We're going to do this chakra breathing. So, okay, and Anita, what are you feeling?
Well, I'm feeling light. As we did each level up, it just felt like opening. I felt like inside myself, I could feel it, an opening.
Good.
Opening, widening, relaxing, and getting lighter.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. And Mary Jane?
All of the above, I think. All of the words have been used, the lightening and the widening. Widening is a good space. It just feels like space. It feels empty, but good, right?
Pamela, what are you noticing, sweetie? Did you get a visual on it? How did you perceive this?
Well, my angels were having fun. One was vacuuming. Another one was taking the bag and throwing it up to the universe. So I feel okay. I mean, I didn't. One time I got my shivers, as you well know, my body goes a little crazy.
Yeah.
And then, but the rest of the time it was just as norm. So, I, I'm probably pretty empty because yesterday I was working on myself a lot during the day.
Good.
So I'm probably pretty good except for that one area. And that was around my, what was that? That was not the throat. It was down below the solar plexus in my stomach.
Okay.
Whichever one that is.
Okay. Down below your stomach?
Yeah. Which
below your, within the sacral chakra? The one
okay.
that we had the repressed childhood memories?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, very
so,
cool.
That one I shivered through. Okay.
Right, and just because this is a really good exercise, you know, for clearing the chakras, you know, but very often there's other work to be done because these are not simple energy centers. There are layers and they can actually be portals into other dimensions. So, you know, there is a complexity to them. There's, you know, it seems like, okay, we're going over this, and we are to a certain extent, but we can't really get into, you know, the very depth of working with them. So let's look at this new chakra breathing exercise. This is designed to raise your kundalini energy or your chi, or your life force energy to open you and balance your whole self. So we're going to work with the prana, the life force energy. That's what we call it in yoga, the breath. It exists in the breath, but it is not the breath. It's the life force energy that comes in and in the breath. And we clear out we call it prana and apana. Prana being the life force energy, and the apana would be, I guess, almost like the waste that you're not using or that you've used. So it energizes your whole body, your whole being, and it is integral to the breath. So we're going to use our breath, and we're going to use our focus to raise the kundalini energy up the spine. Now, we're going to do this breathing through all of the different chakras. So you may experience this in many different ways. Some people will just feel really good. They feel more balanced. Some people may get a rush of energy. They may feel the chakra filling with energy. You may feel warmth. You might get chills. You are unique, and I don't know how it's going to affect you. But the more you practice it, you're opening your spine, you're allowing the kundalini to flow up the spine. So if you find that you're experiencing thoughts or visions that might disturb you, you're going to relax and let them go. And that's just old stuff. It's coming to be released, so you're going to let it go. And if you have trouble letting it go, you're using the vaporizing box technique. You know, just put it in the box and zap it. Because we're going to, you know, just really activate each of these chakras. Now, it's really important that you either sit in a cross-legged position with your spine straight, or if you're sitting, you want to sit on the edge of a chair if you can't get into the cross-legged position. You sit on the edge of the chair. You don't want to, you want to allow some circulation around the perineum because we're going to be breathing in through the perineum. And you're going to tuck your chin in a little bit. That is called neck lock or Jalandhar bond. That's the Jalandhar being the throat. And the bond means lock in I guess it's Sanskrit. I don't know. And we use that in Kundalini yoga. There are three locks in the body. There's a root lock where you would lock your root chakra. And then this is a very common one where you tuck your chin in so that the back of your neck is straight. And then we're going to be inhaling and exhaling through the nose. You're going to let your belly expand on the inhale and contract on the exhale. Or, conversely, you can also inhale and exhale so that you hardly feel it, so that, you know, it's almost not noticeable that you're inhaling or exhaling. And your breath is going to be even and consistent. You're going to put your tongue, the tip of your tongue, on the upper palate just behind the front teeth. This is a position we use in yoga and in some other healing modalities, and it activates your pineal and pituitary glands. So we're going to breathe through each chakra one at a time. We're only going to do 1 minute. You can work up to 3 minutes per chakra. And so you start, imagine that you're inhaling through your perineum for 1 minute, and I'll guide you. And then we'll go to the next chakra, the sacral chakra, which is just a couple of inches below your navel. And then we're going to go up to the next one, to the solar plexus, which is above the navel, then the heart, the throat, the brow, and the crown. And so when we finish, then we're going to inhale through every part of the body, breathing in through your skin, because your skin is really your biggest organ. We're going to breathe in and breathe out through the body, even though we're doing it through the nose, but we're imagining. We're using that imagination. We're intending. And so that's going to be it. So when you're doing this in for 3 minutes, it's about a half hour, but we're going to do it for just a minute at each one of these. And then when you're done, you rub your hands together, and you rub your hands up and down on your face 3 times, or you can also run your fingers through your hair 3 times, and then you're done. So is everybody ready? Anybody not ready? Okay. So sit in your a cross-legged position, or on the edge of your chair. Sit up very straight. Tuck your chin. We're going to start breathing through the perineum. We're going to do this for a minute, and then we're going to move up. So here we go. So bring your attention to the perineum and feel yourself inhaling and exhaling through the perineum. Remember to tuck your chin in so the back of your neck is straight. Move your consciousness up to your sacral chakra, a few inches below the navel. Inhale, front and back, and exhale, front and back. Keep your spine straight, your chin tucked in. Move up to your solar plexus, inhaling front and back, just a few, 2 inches, an inch or two above your navel. up to the heart space, the heart chakra, inhaling front and back, exhaling front and back. Spine straight, neck tucked, chin tucked in. Moving up to the throat chakra, front and back, inhale and exhale. Up to the crown, in and out through the crown. And now through your whole body, all the skin, inhaling and exhaling. Now, you'll wash your face where you rub your hands up and down on your face 3 times. Or conversely, you can rub your fingers through your hair. What'd you notice, Pamela?
Okay, I had to find my mute. Okay, I have a couple questions.
Yeah.
When you say, you said breathe in through the perineal?
Perineum, yes.
Perineum.
The space between your your sex organs and your anus.
Okay.
Rectum.
So breathing in through there, and how could you breathe in through your throat, front and back?
You just visualize that you just imagine that you're able to do it.
Oh. Because I said, well, okay, I guess then we'll start breathing into my neck, which was easy enough for me to visualize.
Good.
But we do want to just then breathe in and out through our perineal.
Your perineum?
Versus, yes.
Yeah, you just, well, that's the first part, because your root chakra, it goes backwards and forwards, but it also goes down, just as your crown goes up. So if you're starting with that, then, you know, you're breathing in and out through, it's just like, you know, it's just kind of opening you up into the, I guess, into the Earth's energy as well. You're just breathing in and out through there. It opens up your root chakra.
Okay.
So for you, you want to really, because you are very visual, you want to see it while you're doing the
right.
breathing. Now, what do you notice now after the exercise?
I feel lighter.
Good.
If I'm going through myself, oh, I want that child. Tell that child to come over here, play with my boy. I feel lighter, I feel, because when I got down to the back area, I said, all is clean, all is well. Now, while I was doing that, I had an idea I wanted to ask you about. What do
yes.
you think about something like a hyperbaric chamber where you're putting all that oxygen into your whole body while you're doing this?
Well, it certainly was not going to be a bad thing.
Okay.
You know, I hear they're wonderful. I have never experienced one.
Well, you can come see me because I'm getting one in 2 weeks.
Awesome. Beautiful.
So you'll have to come. All you girls are welcome to come try the hyperbaric chamber.
Very, very cool. That's
yeah,
very
me and Michael,
cool.
Me and Michael oh. will be together.
Oh, okay. So,
well, I say Michael Jackson.
Are you and Michael?
One.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Beth, what did you experience?
I just feel absolutely fabulous. It was really nice. It just feels really good. I feel really light and just really happy.
Good. Yeah, that's the goal, because you're lighter. You're vibrating at a higher frequency now. We can use breath to raise your vibration. And you also, we're clean and clearer in all of the different chakras. So that's very cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Jane?
I found myself sort of doing a combination of visual and seeing it and feeling it. It was, I don't exactly know what to say. I feel fine. I feel great. But there's just a lot of stuff stirring around.
Good. I love it. It's good to move that stuff around.
Yeah. It just feels kind of different. I feel not settled. But not in a bad way, just
yeah.
different.
Good. Well, just enjoy the not settledness of it. You probably stirred some energy up. Did a lot of cleaning and clearing. I'm just checking in. Let's see what's going on with you. Doesn't feel bad. Just feels like there's stuff moving. What's moving is your kundalini. It's your life force energy.
Well, when we got to the third eye.
Yes.
Did you say that was the nervous system?
Yes.
Something was really going on there, because just...
You're activating your third eye, sweetheart.
Hmm.
You're going to become more intuitive if you do this exercise.
I have some.
Just do it for like a moment. I'm sorry, honey.
I have some more questions about that, but keep going with this.
No. What are your questions? Let's address them.
Well, it felt a lot like that sort of nerve thing that I've been sort of, I was saying battling, but maybe it's not something to battle as much as it's something that's changed.
What you resist persists. So you don't want to battle anything. The best response to it is to just surround it with love. And it's interesting because, you know, I had forgotten that, yes, you have that nerve situation.
Right.
But you know what?
Situation, that's a great word for it. But as soon as that went through my head with the breathing, my whole body just went into that. I haven't had that in a couple of weeks. And I thought, oh, good, we're moving past this. And then, but it was very clear that it doesn't have to do with the other parts of my body, which I thought it did. It was all about that. It was there.
Interesting.
So I've located it. I'm so excited.
That's wonderful. I'm actually feeling my body, as I'm tapping into you, my body's moving. I'm feeling a lot of movement in you.
Yeah, I've been moving since this call started.
yeah, that's good. That feels good. It feels really good. You definitely got some energy shifting, which is a good
thing. Shifting is
good. And Anita, right? I didn't get to you yet.
No. Right. Okay, well, it was amazing. I definitely felt more of that sense of opening, becoming lighter, feeling more relaxed. And
what's going on in your throat?
I don't know. Oh, but I wanted to tell you about that when I got to the throat part. But I'll tell you that in a minute. First, I want to tell you when we got to the heart chakra.
Yes.
I just felt this enormous release of tension, pressure all around my head, especially in the front, the front part of my head.
Yes.
And that was so wonderful. It just felt so good. I don't know why when we get to the heart chakra, my head would suddenly release all this tension, but it felt so good. And then as we went up through the higher chakras, I felt a lot of expansiveness. But then it was very strange because somewhere during the throat chakra,
right.
I caught myself sort of nodding or dozing off. And then
there's some resistance there. There's something going on with your throat chakra. I can totally feel it.
Oh, wow.
In the front of it, right? You feel that in the front?
I don't know that I'm so aware of it. All I can tell you is that when we were doing that, the breathing, that's where I kind of lost focus, I guess, and nodded off a little bit.
No, it's okay. You know, it's okay to everything that happens is okay. You're going to be experiencing the Kundalini rising in a different, you know, very gentle way, or you can just nod off. That could be part of it. You know, there are no judgments here. No judgments at all.
Yeah, it wasn't. I just don't know what it means. And so then as we got to the third eye and moved in towards the crown, I noticed that my chin had come up. And I, you know, when you were doing the lower levels, you several times reminded us to keep the chin down. And then I just happened to notice that we
tuck it in a little bit. It doesn't have to be down.
Well,
to keep the back of the neck straight.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is I was like, it was like I was almost looking, you know, skyward. And I don't know what that was. In a way, it felt really good to me because it felt like it was like an opening up. And but then I did kind of tuck it down a little bit while we finished up the crown.
That's absolutely fine. The reason we want the chin tucked in is that it, in a straight spine, is that allows the kundalini to flow more easily through the shishmuna channel, which is the channel that runs alongside the spine. So,
yeah.
No, so
and that makes complete sense to me, you know, to have the, I mean, I've done yoga before, and I, you know, not a lot, not as much as I'd like to, but I do understand the whole point of keeping the spine straight. Yeah.
So I am feeling some stuff in your throat.
Uh-huh.
I really, would it be okay if we released it? Do you feel that in your throat?
Yes. Mhm.
Okay. And it's not yours. You actually are carrying something from somebody else. So let's just bring in your angels and just ask them to take it. And they can take it out. And I think it also goes down into your chest. But you can put it in the box and vaporize it if you like. Oh, that feels better. Yeah, that feels much better. There it goes. Good.
Mm.
Okay.
I felt another surge of energy going up just then.
Good.
As you said that.
Yeah, good.
Mm.
So, as I started to say before, we can bring our awareness into the different chakra areas in our body. And if you're in a situation, say, where somebody is, you know, coming from a power place or coming from a nasty place or something, you really don't want to be around them, but you're there and they're there, if you bring your awareness down low, they're vibrating at a low vibration, you bring your awareness into your second or first chakra, you can go lower. You just want to go lower than they are, and they get uncomfortable because low vibration is power. People who are coming from a power place are very often in their second chakra. So bring your awareness down into your second chakra. Or like one of my teachers said, you know, look for your pelvis. Most women, we are operating at higher vibrations. Seldom do we go below our diaphragm. So if you are bringing your awareness down here, and very often you want to think about something that's going to ground you down here. So it might be, you know, sexual reference, it might be childbirth, you know, whatever it is, you know, see that brings your awareness down low. Also being out in nature, that's a very low vibration also, but it's a low sacred vibration. You can bring your awareness so low it goes beneath your feet. So if you're in a situation you don't like the vibration of someone around you, just go lower. They're not going to want to be around you. They may find it uncomfortable. Does that make sense? Does anybody have any questions about that?
Yes, I always thought that you should raise your vibration so that you would try to raise the situation instead of go down to where they're coming from. So that isn't, maybe I'm not understanding something.
Okay. Yeah, as above, so below. Have you heard that?
Okay. Well, okay, I'm not.
You can be just as high from a low place as you can from a high place.
Can you elaborate? You can be just as high from a low place. I don't understand that.
Yes, it's because there's, let me see. I can explain this. You can, you know, go by going into the woods, you know, and
right.
getting very low and connecting with nature.
Right.
Feel that energy right now. Feel how low that is. But feel the sacred quality of it, where you're feeling lower, but you're also feeling very peaceful.
Right.
And you're also, you can be in very low, but you can at the same time be in your heart, be in your third eye, while you're feeling that sacred low vibration.
Wow, I never thought of that way.
I know.
That's an amazing way to look at that.
I know.
Say that again, Marbeth.
You can, you know, when you're out in nature, you know, when you're out, you know, maybe you're gardening and you are feeling that connection with the earth. The vibration is very low, but it's a sacred vibration of being very low. It's very grounding. It pulls you down, you know, into your body. And so you can be from that place, but you're feeling peaceful. You're feeling still. You can actually move into, while you're there, move into your other chakras. So you're very present in your body, but you're very grounded at the same time. And that is, you know, keeps you in a very centered, grounded place. Did that make sense to you, Pamela?
Yeah. Because I agree that I was always taught that you wanted to be in high vibration versus low. So basically what you're saying, though, is if you're in a low vibration, is that low in your body?
Low in your body. Bring your awareness. You could bring your awareness into your first or second chakra. Be good. It would actually be really good for you to spend time in your second chakra, because remember the repressed childhood memories. That would be a good place for you to be. It's going to keep you grounded in your body, and also that's a really good place because, you know, that's where we create babies, is a really great place for creating money, for creating businesses, for creating new projects, new careers. This is a wonderful place. So Beth, you want to be moving into something that's going to make your heart sing a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
This
yes.
is the place. And Anita, I know you've been thinking about what you want to be when you grow up, too. This is the place.
Yes, I'm still wondering.
That's okay. Absolutely fine.
Yeah.
We'll help you get some clarity in this class.
I really hope so, and would be deeply appreciative of that.
Yeah, it's just a matter now of really connecting with your inner guidance. And this is really a really beautiful way of doing it. You know, I've taught you guys some meditations and, you know, some breath. I love this particular, it's a meditation, and it's a chakra meditation to really increase your awareness. And as you become more aware, you're going to be aware of messages that are coming in. You're going to be connecting to your intuition. You can ask questions. You can, you know, like if I knew what I wanted to do when I grew up, what would it be? And don't, you know, just kind of go about your day. Ask yourself, you know. Ask yourself these questions. Ask yourself, you know, what I really want to do? What would be really fun? What would make me feel passionate and really, you know, create a stream of income? And then just let it go. Let the answers come to you. They will come to you. And you could hear it, you know, in a conversation, or you pick up a book and you open it up to a page that's going to totally speak to you. You might, you know, be cruising the radio and you hear somebody talking about something that just totally, just really sparks you, you know, just like, wow, that's what I want. So start to ask. And, you know, and when you start to ask, you're going to start to get answers. Okay, just be open about
okay.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay. So in terms of the body, just start. We started, you know, getting into the heart space. Now you have an awareness of the different chakras. If you're visual, spend some time with them. See the colors. See if you can see them spinning. See them spinning. You know, notice what you're noticing about them. Don't judge anything. Don't try to make it right or wrong or anything else. Does everybody feel good?
Yes.
Any questions? Anybody have anything that they've been working on this past week and they would like some clarity or, you know, going back to either the forgiveness, the limiting beliefs, the energy blockages. Beth, do you have anything?
No, not really. I asked you my question earlier about releasing the limiting beliefs, and it's an exercise that I think I'll go through quite often because, I mean, they do pop up. Sure.
But that's wonderful. You know, you have a tool.
Mm-hmm.
You have a wonderful tool. Yeah, that's really great. And Anita, what about you, sweetheart?
In terms of what? Do I have any questions?
Any questions?
No. Actually, one question I've been thinking of asking you is, I don't think we have all the recordings from all the calls.
They are up now.
They are?
They should
okay.
be up now. Let me
okay.
double check. Yeah, I'll have Michelle get this one up right away. This one is not up. The one
I see.
Oh no,
number
you're right.
Two.
It's not up for last week.
Yeah, I see week number two and week number.
You know what happened? I'm going to tell you is what happened is I loaded up the page for last week, and I pushed save as I was out the door, and it didn't save. So let me add that right now. I'll get the call in. I'm so sorry because I did it 3 times and it just didn't do it. So
okay. Well, that's yeah. I see 1 and 2, the recordings for 1 and 2.
Yeah, and let me get the recording for 3. In fact, I'm going to have Michelle do that. That would be.
Well, Beth, how long will you be leaving these up?
How long would you like it left up?
I don't know. I just think it'd be something interesting to go back to even in a month or two. And I didn't know if you were just taking them down after the class. Or
no, I'm not going to take it down, you know, for a little while. You know, I want you to be able to have access to it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to have Michelle put up the calls for last week and this week. Well, I'm on the phone. I'm doing it right now. So,
well,
okay.
And the thing is, we can save. I mean, I've downloaded all of it to my, computer. So
beautiful.
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So okay. You know, I mean, I was so frustrated because here I thought I had pages up, and I didn't, and for some reason. On this computer, you know, I guess if the page has been up for a while, it doesn't necessarily, you know, it says it's saving, but then it says, do you really want to do this? And then I go back and it's gone. So I think what happened is I pushed save and it just disappeared. It didn't save. So, I'll have her do that.
Okay, thank you. And I will say one thing. When we were looking at the Alex Gray artwork last week, I also went and did a Google on him because I had seen some of these images in the past.
Yeah.
On different, you know, spiritual programs that things that I've followed. But when I did the Google, there were just so many images that were amazing.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, you see them 8 feet high. You know, if you go to New York, go to, I don't know, if you up, see where it is. It used to be, you had a, you know, it was upstairs in some studio, but there was the Chapel of the Sacred Mirrors. It was amazing. I own two limited editions of his. I have the one of the kiss, where, you know, I have that in my relationship corner, and then I have the one of the energy system.
Is that the one that was the second of the three that you posted?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the, I really like that one, and I did not see that in the plethora of images that came up on Google, which was interesting. But I did see one that was a kiss.
It's a kiss. It's a couple kissing, and then they're connected on the in the heart chakra, in the crown, and then also in the third eye. So through light, it's very, very cool. And then because, you know, he has that, you know, that because he's the grandson of the guy that did Grey's Anatomy, you know, he's just amazing. And plus, when in the exhibit, it was hilarious. He did a portrait of the guy that created or discovered LSD, because that's how he accessed his art. But or maybe he did that initially, but he's definitely able to tap into energy. So I just find he's phenomenal.
Where is the gallery in New York, you know?
You know, I was there a few years ago. I really don't remember.
It's not in the city, though, I guess.
It was in the city.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was in the city, but at this point in time, you know, I couldn't tell you where it was. And I think they were looking for a new place to move it.
I'm going to be there in October for a few days, so maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah, check it out, you know. And I mean, when you see his work and it's 8 feet high, it's really very impressive. You know, it's just, it's, he definitely, you know, has a vision. So anything else? Any further questions? So I think we're good. I'm heading out to Calgary for a week. I'll be back next week. Yeah.
I like Calgary.
I know.
It's a neat place. It's a beautiful place.
It is a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll be there for a week, and then we'll be back. And I don't know if any of you, I know Beth is coming to the workshop we're going to have with Harrison and Grandmother Parisha. So that'll be next month in Orlando. It's free. We just have a $197, it's a deposit, it's a no-show deposit, just to, so that we know how many people, we have a head count of people that are actually going to do it.
Well, I would have been going to that because I was on that free call last month, and I would have gone to that except for the timing. I'm going to have company that the week before that, and they will all be leaving on the 15th. So, you know, I'm going to be having my daughter and son-in-law and grandson from here in Colorado, out there in California, and my mother-in-law is coming and another couple, and it's just, I can't go on the 15th.
No, you can't. Well, anyway, I just wanted to mention that again. So, okay, guys, I guess you're all set for until next week.
To confirm, next week it's back to Tuesday, right?
I'm going to double check on my calendar, but I believe so.
Because
we're coming
so.
In.
Yeah.
Tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, the 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're coming back Monday night. So, yeah. So, wait. This is That would be Tuesday the 28th. Yes. We are there. Well, the 29th, I'm teaching a global telesummit. So that will be interesting. It's that's free also.
Yeah. Yeah, when I tried to look up the list of dates through the emails that you've sent, but I realized that the easiest way is to look at the homework page and to know what day the next call is.
Yeah. So, you know, so everything should be there. I know. I get lost in email, too. I mean, it just turns into a blur. Yeah. And also, I just want, you know, when you look on the homework page, underneath the third Alex Gray painting, or it's actually charcoal that's there, you see the center column, which is the energy channel. You see, this is actually caduceus. This is what doctors have in their offices, you know. But what it is actually, if you look at it, there's the spinal column, and then you have these two winged serpents that wrap around it. That's in yoga, we call that the Ida and the Pingala. They actually are two energy channels that wrap around it. And so when you're doing alternate nostril breathing, you're inhaling through one nostril. The left side is the Ida and the right side is the Pingala, I think. And sometimes I confuse them. But one controls the... it's like yin and yang. They control different sides. One is more active, the sun energy. The other one is the moon energy. So, you know, it's very interesting. So this is actually a representation of that. But I'm going to let you all go. And we will talk next Tuesday.
Have a nice trip.
Thank you. I will be
on
the
journey.
Oh, thank you. We'll
enjoy.
Be available by email. And you know, if you guys have any questions or whatever, I'm here for you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Marbeth, and
thank you,
and Mary Jane, and Pamela, and Beth.
Yes, everyone. Take care.
Much love and appreciation. Stay in appreciation, guys, as much as you can. And it really raises your vibration. So much love, and I'll talk with you next week.
Thanks.
Bye, everyone. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.